Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. As I say every week, I'll remind you again, if you would ever desire any of our CDs of any of our programs, they are absolutely free. All you need to do is write to us, and whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I will get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get into our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, today we come back and we continue our journey through these letters to the seven churches. And Lord, what we're going to talk about today is so applicable to the church today and to our individual lives. So, dear Lord, speak to us, we pray. Challenge us through the study. Might we be receptive to the teaching of the Holy Spirit and to the convictions of the Spirit. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery, and I trust you have a Bible with you, and if you do, open up to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. We're going to do a little bit of review here in a second, but I want to remind you of a few things before we do this, before I get to the study. I want to remind you, first of all, of our website, claysburgbiblechurch.com, has all of our messages on. There are notes that you can print out of the entire script of the entire message. There are also MP3 files there that you can copy if you desire to. All of that is for you to use. Nothing is copyrighted, so if you can take it and you can use it, we will praise the Lord for that. So all those studies are there. We invite you to use them. Also, I want to remind you that on Thursday nights, Thursday evenings here at our church, we are into a prophecy study on Thursday evening. Starts at 6 o'clock, and it usually ends up about 7:30, quarter till 8. And it is it's taught by Brother Dale Chamberlain on prophecy from Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. And then eventually, we're not there quite yet, but he will be talking about the current events and how they tie in with the biblical prophecy. So you're invited to come out to that. No charge. You come on out and join us if you desire to on a Thursday night. It'd be great to have you. Okay. So back to the book of Revelation and returning to our study of the letters of the seven churches. And we are in the last letter, the seventh letter, the letter to the church at Laodicea. And so I want to do a little bit of a history from where we were last week, a little bit of background on the city, if I could. This city that the church was located in, the church of Laodicea, the city of Laodicea, it was a very wealthy city, and there were several reasons for the wealth. I'll give you three of them. Number one, the city was located on a major trade route running from Ephesus to Syria, and the route brought many travelers. So it was a high traffic area, and so it was a major trade route. So for that reason, the city was located in an ideal place, and so it became wealthy because of the trading that took place. Number two, the city was well known for banking and the money. It was a money changing center, and they even minted their own coins. So for that reason, it was also wealthy. And then also the city manufactured expensive goods. They manufactured glossy black wool that was very expensive, and they had a medical school which was known for the development of eye salve, and that was used worldwide for treating diseases. So you can just kind of understand how wealthy this area would have been. It was, as a matter of fact, history tells us the city was so wealthy that in AD 60, there was a massive earthquake and much of the city was destroyed. And Rome offered money to the city to help rebuild a city, but the city refused the money from Rome, and they rebuilt at their own expense. They didn't need the government's money, so to speak. They didn't need Rome's money, so they built at their own expense, because that's how wealthy this city was. Now, there was a weakness within the city, and the weakness was their water supply. The city lacked an adequate water supply, and for that reason, they had set up what was known as aqueducts, and some of the water was pipe, really, the aqueducts were pipes. The water was piped in from coal springs, the coal springs of Colossa, and some came from the hot springs of Hierapolis. The aqueducts were some 6 miles long. By the time the water arrived at Laodicea, it was lukewarm. It was too warm to drink, and it wasn't warm enough to cleanse. But the water was a problem. Because of the water problems and because of how far they had to pipe the water in, some 6 miles, the city made many compromises, because whenever an enemy would approach the city, the fear of losing their water supply kept them from taking a stand, and instead they would end up compromising with the enemy. They would end up compromising. And so the water supply proved to be a weakness for the city. Now, the church that was there, we don't know how the church was started, but we do know that the Apostle Paul had connections with the church, because in Colossians 4:16, we read this, and when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So Paul had a connection. He knew those that were there, but we don't know how the church was started. We don't have an idea about that, so we're not going to speculate on that. I'll get you to the first point today, the evaluation. And we looked at this last time, but we'll go over it. Chapter 3, verse 15. Watch what Jesus says. 15, the first part of 16. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll just read it all. I will spew thee out of my mouth. This church was neither cold or hot, and Jesus stated that he desired that they were one or the other. The church was lukewarm. They were saved, but the problem was they had one foot in the world and they had one foot in the church. That was the problem. They had a divided allegiance. These people knew, you know, whenever Jesus says, thou art lukewarm, you're neither cold nor hot, they knew how repulsive lukewarm water was, for they had experienced it. They experienced it from their aqueduct, so they knew what lukewarm meant. They knew that. Let me tell you what happened to this church. I'll give you some thoughts on this. The wealth and the prosperity of the world had stolen away their hearts, is what happened. They were completely caught up in materialism. This church was controlled by greed and wealth, but at the same time, they believed they were walking with the Lord. They were lukewarm. They were lukewarm. And so the world had stolen away their allegiance, but they tried to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And so they're kind of straddled the fence here. Watch verse 16 again. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, Jesus said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That would be the same as removing their lampstand. That's the idea. The same as removing their lampstand. But he was saying this, you know, this condition makes me sick. I'd rather that you were cold, I could work with you. Or if you were hot, then you would be accomplishing that which you were to accomplish. But you're neither. You're in between. You're at straddle the fence. And so let me remind you that you and I, we got to be so careful. There are so many things that will steal away our devotion from the Lord, our allegiance to the Lord. And if we're not careful, we end up in a situation just like this church, to the point that we can become lukewarm, trying to live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church, or 2 feet in the world and one foot in the church, however it is, but it happens. It happens all the time. And so we learn from this right here that that situation, Jesus said, that basically makes me sick. He said, I'd rather you be one or the other. If you were cold, I can work with you. I can work with you. But here you are lukewarm. You're kind of in between. And so that's where this church was. That brings us to where we are today, to the deception. Watch verse 17, the first part. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Stop right there. These believers at Laodicea had come to believe that material wealth was a sign of God's approval in their lives. That's what they thought. They thought they were walking in a deep relationship with Jesus Christ, but the truth was they had drifted far from him. The warning was this, and we can't miss it, because there's something here that we got to pay close attention to. It was the prosperity of the world that caused their hearts to be turned from God. Throughout the history of the world, there's been a revolving wheel which man has been riding since clear back in the beginning of time. And listen, it's kind of got four steps in it. Number one, men will suffer lack. They won't have what they need, and they'll suffer from affliction, and so they'll turn to God. Then step number two, God responds to their repentance with provision and blessings. Number three, men glory in their condition of prosperity and grow cold toward God. And number four, judgment falls and because they've turned away from God, and the wheel goes around again. And that is a vicious cycle that has taken place. And you and I got to always be careful. We got to always be careful. Let me read for you a warning that God gave to the nation of Israel before they entered into the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 12, it says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and shall bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee out of the land, brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee greatly and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. And when thou shalt have eaten and be full, verse 12, listen to this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Beware. God says, you be very, very careful. You get in there, you're going to enjoy all these things in the land, houses that you didn't build. You're going to enjoy vineyards that you didn't plant, and wells that you didn't dig, and olive trees that you didn't plant, and you're going to eat, and you're going to be full. And if you're not careful, you'll forget me. He says, you'll forget me. That's what had happened right here. That's what was happening in Laodicea. Now, before I get to an application there, I want to say something that this is not in my notes, but this comes to my mind, and so I want to kind of add this along, and I want to give you something to think about. When we started the study of the churches, I told you that the churches, there's so many different ways. We're looking at them in a practical way. There's another way to look at these churches, and that is that each of these churches represents the true church in a certain age. Well, this is the last church, and whenever we go to chapter 4, we're going to get a picture of the revelation or the rapture. And chapter 4, from chapter 4 on, there's no mention of the church until we get to Revelation 19, whenever we see the church, the bride, which is the wife, of Christ coming back with Jesus Christ, us coming back to the earth with him at the end of the tribulation period. So I say that to say this, that this church of Laodicea is really a picture of what the church is going to look like and how things are going to be in the days whenever Jesus Christ returns. With that said, I say this, that we're in a time of prosperity right now. There are a lot of churches. There are a lot of churches that are wrapped up in stuff. There are a lot of people. Let me get it more personal. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of believers who make up the body of Christ, who are the church, and they are wrapped up in stuff. And so their allegiance is divided. It's divided because they see so many other things to do, and there's so many opportunities, and prosperity is so great, and there's money to be made, and there's gadgets to be enjoyed, to be used and to be enjoyed. And so therefore there is this divided allegiance because people don't want to miss out on anything. And so very much like this church right here. And so a lot of people, instead of being hot, they are lukewarm. They're not cold. They have a relationship with the Lord, but they're lukewarm in that relationship. Now let me get you back to an application here and say this. We got to be very careful in our personal lives. The world will try to convince us that in order to be happy and successful in this life, that we got to make lots of money and gather as much of this world's goods as what we possibly can. Many have bought into this and then went on to believe that the greatest thing which they can give to their children is the riches of this world. They say they desire to see their children have what they never had. And I've heard this before, you know, that people say, I don't want my children to go through what I had to go through. I want them to have it easy. Well, let me just say this. I went through some very, very difficult times. My wife and I went through some very difficult times. I worked in D.C. for 5 years and made a substantial paycheck there. And then all of that went dry down there. And I came back home and there wasn't anything back here to do. And I remember one winter that my wife and I ran out of money in the middle of that winter. We ran out. A little bit of unemployment coming in, and that was it. And listen, I don't say that for you to feel bad for me. I don't want that at all, because that was one of the best things that ever happened to me, because it was in the middle of all of that I came to know Christ as my Savior. In those difficult times, and there were a lot of them, I could sit here and give you personal stories of things that I went through, that my wife and I went through in our lives. And they were really hard. They were very hard living times. They were very difficult because we didn't have much. And so I was prideful. I wouldn't ask for anything. And so it was just a struggle. A lot of those years, a lot of that time, I wasn't saved at all. But listen, I learned so much in those times, and I would not trade that. I'm on this side of all of that. And I look back and I say, you know what? I'm so thankful that God allowed me to go through that, because those things made me who I am, helped contribute to the person that I am today. So be careful about saying, you know what? I don't want my kids to experience what I had to go through. I don't want them to have it that bad. Listen, there may be a reason that God has for them to go through that. What happens now in our society, we have a younger generation that grows up and they're saturated with stuff from this world. And so, you know, a kid gets sent to his room today, and that's not a bad thing for the kid, because they got a flat screen, they got a computer, they got a cell phone, they got all kinds of games, and they got everything in the room. So that's, you know, if I'd have had all that whenever I was a kid, I'd have done stuff just to get sent to my room, you know. But so we're growing up with this generation that has been saturated, and just in case you've bought into the lie that stuff and things and wealth of this world is the key to happiness, listen to Matthew 19:16-24. It says this. Jesus says, and behold, one came and, or not Jesus, but Matthew writes, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what thing shall I do? What good thing shall I do that I may inherit, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And a young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from thy youth up. What lack I yet? And Jesus saith unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So when a young man had heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, listen to this, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. That rich man came to Jesus Christ, and he didn't see his need for a Savior. He did not see his sinfulness. That's why Jesus said, keep the law. He couldn't keep the law, but a guy said, I've done all of that. And he hadn't, but that would just prove the point that until the man could see his sin and understand the seriousness of his sin, there's no way he could be saved. And Jesus left that guy walk away. A guy that said unto him, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? Today, that guy would have got led in a prayer or whatever. And you know what? He was not a man that was ready for the Savior because he didn't see his need for Jesus Christ, because he didn't see the seriousness of his sin. And he was clinging to his self-righteousness, and he was clinging to the stuff of the world. And until he was ready to let those two things go, he couldn't get through the gate. That's why Jesus says to his disciples, it's hardly that a rich man will enter into heaven. And he said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. So instead of striving to gain the wealth of this world, we're to learn the words which Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:6-10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish, hateful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, let us get back to Revelation. The church at Laodicea was deceived. They believed they were the example of what a church was to be, but they were wrong. What's your true condition? 3:17 again. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. There's their true condition. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Let me break them down. Wretched means to be oppressed with a burden. What they didn't understand was all their wealth had put a burden on them, and they held that wealth so high that they worried about losing that wealth, and they had no idea that it was weighting them down. They had no idea. They were miserable. That means to be pitied. Because they were carrying that huge burden around, they didn't realize it. They were a pitiful group of believers. They were poor. Now, they weren't poor as far as the wealth of the world, but they were poor spiritually speaking. They were the opposite of the church at Smyrna. In 2:9, Revelation 2:9, we read this. Jesus said to the church at Smyrna, I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. The church at Smyrna had very little of this world's wealth, but they were rich in spiritual wealth. The church of Laodicea was the opposite. They had great wealth from the world, but they had no spiritual wealth. They had no spiritual power, so to speak. The church was popular. The church was prosperous, but they were also powerless. Let me make an application. I just want to remind you that's what happens in our lives whenever we live for the wealth of the world. We can become popular, we can become prosperous, but I can assure you, you'll also become powerless. Our testimony will be nothing. It'll be nothing. We're to live so that others can see that the earth is not our home, and we're to live by faith in the promises of God. We're to live for the promises of God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. In other words, our faith is a testimony to those that can't see what we live for. Okay, so these people were poor. They were also blind. These people were blind to their true condition. They couldn't see beyond the world, their worldly wealth. They had tunnel vision, and they were focused on the wealth of the world. Let me read for you what the opposite of that would be like. Hebrews 11:13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Those of the Old Testament that verse is talking about says that with their mind's eye, they could see down through the corridor of time to see to the spiritual blessings that God had promised. This church couldn't see that because they were so focused and blinded by what the world had to offer. Number five, they were naked. The city was known for the garments and the money which they made from them, but because their true spiritual condition, because of that, they were spiritually naked. I think that's connected with Revelation 19. Whenever talking about the bride of Christ, it says, "To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." In other words, the works that we do here and what we accomplish here is going to contribute, I want you to listen to this, to the garment that we will be clothed with whenever we come back to the earth with Jesus Christ. In conclusion, I'll leave you with James 4:13-15. James said, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that." Be very careful. Listen, in closing, let me say this. Be very careful about getting caught up in the world. Step back and look at your life. If you got one foot in the world, one foot in the church, you need to change that up. I'm out of time today, but I want to thank you for joining us today on the Joy of Discovery radio program. And I'll remind you again, if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, they're free. All you need to do is write to us, or you can go to our website, claysburgbiblechurch.com. But if you write to us, include the date of the program that you desire. Write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.